All right, welcome. This is Jennifer Richmond, and this is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study, and this is our study through Ephesians. We're in Lesson 1. This is Day 5, and I'm glad that you're here. We had a little technical difficulty, those of you who are watching us live right now on Facebook. It took me a while to get everything kind of set up, but I really wanted to start this second week of the study connected well and cross-posting and all that good stuff. So that's why the delay this morning. But thank you for being here. Those of you who are listening on YouTube or those of you who are listening on the podcast, you're like, I don't know, it just sounds normal to me because you guys missed all the fun stuff on Facebook. Anyway, as always, we do these what we call live or later. You can join us live on Facebook at 7 a.m. usually, if I'm on time, at 7 a.m. on Facebook on the LMCC Women Facebook page. Or you can just watch the archive it right there on Facebook, or you can watch it on YouTube, Jennifer Richmond on the YouTube channel there, or go to the Dwelling Richly podcast and just listen and follow along there. So we're going to get started now. Finally, it feels like finally to me because I've been working on this for quite a while. But those of you who are just jumping on, of course, you're just jumping in. All right, enough of that. Let's go ahead and get started, as always, in prayer and a dig into today's lesson. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the beauty of internet and the technology that we have and to use to share your word. Thank you for that. It's often used in horrible ways, but it can be used in wonderful ways, and we want to do that to glorify your name today. Bless our time in your word now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hopefully I can get my tongue to work better today as well. All right. Let me go ahead and hit that share screen button, and you'll see me on Facebook real quick, and then I'm going to hop over to Ephesians 1 on, I'm using the Bible Gateway app. See, this is why I wanted to do this, because if I couldn't get this up, we couldn't see the word together, and that's what we want to do. The other thing I wanted to be able to do was to share how to access this on our church's website. And those of you, of course, listening on the podcast and not seeing this right now, all I'm doing is going to lamoradachristianchurch.com. I hover over the ministries button there and slide down to women, over to women's Bible study and click that. And then that'll open up the women's Bible study page, and you'll see it says join the Wellness Dwelling Richly Bible Study anytime. It gives you the link to our Facebook pages there. And then if you scroll down, you will see all of the Ephesians Bible studies will be listed there for you. The very first lesson I gave on how to study the Bible is there, and a notes page to listen and take notes to that. And then, of course, right here, introduction and lesson one. Open that up, and then you will see a PDF version of the entire study. And of course, today we're on lesson one, day five. So we just scroll down and get that going. If you're just now joining us, welcome. I'm glad that you're here. Be sure to hit the subscribe button if you're listening on YouTube. That really helps. Well, it helps you to stay connected. And if you hit the subscribe button and hit that little alarm bell, that'll give you a notification whenever I post things on YouTube. So if you haven't done that, today's a good day to go ahead and hit subscribe and then hit that alarm bell so you get the notifications. And I'm scrolling through, and here we are, lesson one, day five. I'm going to open that up, fill the screen there, and then we'll follow along with this as we go. If you're listening on the podcast, same thing. Hit the subscribe button, follow that, whether you're listening on iTunes. I use a couple of apps. One of them is called Pocket Cast, and I like that one. That's a free app you can use. Get it through your app on your phone. Get it through that. And then you can also use iTunes, anything like that. Just search for Dwelling Richly, look for my face, and that'll be the right one, and then you can subscribe there. All right. So we're again in lesson one, day five. We're moving through Ephesians chapter one, and as always, we open up each lesson with an opportunity to get into the word by writing out our memory verse. And the verse that we've been working on memorizing is Ephesians 1, verse 3. So let me go ahead and get that screen up again, nice and big for us to see. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Are you guys doing okay on that? Are you memorizing it? Well, make sure at the close of the lesson, or pause this right now if you're listening to the recording, and write that out. There's something to be said about the power of not just hearing it and reading it, but speaking it aloud and writing it. All those modalities will help you to memorize the words. I encourage you guys to do that. All right. And so back over here to our lesson. let me go ahead and read the introduction and get into that now. We'll take the next 3 days to look at Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. Most English translations don't show it, but when you read this passage in the language Paul wrote it, Greek, verses 3 through 14 are actually one long sentence. So go ahead and read it today as you and try to read it in one breath. I don't know if I'll be able to do that, but let's give it a try. Hey, if you're watching online, you're seeing this right here. I have highlighted several passages throughout this study and hyperlinked them. That means if you hover over it and you press click on it, it'll open up to that scripture, which I already have opened up for us here. So I'm going to go ahead and just click over and let you see that. All right. So we're reading again chapter one. And we're reading again some verses that you've already read a few times, verses 3 through 14. So let's go ahead and do that right now. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless in him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Christ Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Let's go back over here to the lesson and just dig in together on the questions as we move through this study. So we'll take the next 3 days. Oh, I just read that. In reading Ephesians 1, 3 to 14, did you do it in one breath? No. Are you crazy? No, you can check off that. I did not do it in one breath. That would be crazy. I guess I could try to do it in one. Good morning, husband. He's walking in. You can't see him, but he's over there on the other side of the camera. Many scholars believe that Paul wrote this passage to be sung as a worship song, an ancient hymn. In the Greek, the words have a rhythm and a song-like feel. Read the passage again and imagine singing surrounded by other saints in Ephesus. Which phrases sound the most worshipful to you and why? So let's go ahead and take a look at that and read it again. And I want you to imagine it this time, the song-like feel. And I wish we could read it. I wish we understood the ancient Greek I wish I was fluent enough to read the ancient Greek to you so that you could hear it. I'm just not that good. But you could look at it and try to sound it out. But let me go ahead and read it again. And this time I want you to let the words wash over you and really think of this like a worship song. And Paul almost singing these words over the people that he's writing to, these people in Ephesus. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him. Oh, I saw verse 11 and I saw the one and thought it was the right verse to start with, but I need to back up to verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ. Just feel that washing over you. Think about what that means to you. Hear it as a song. According to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. How beautiful it is to think about that truth. According to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will. Do you feel it kind of swirling around you? According to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. All right. So, which phrases sounded most worshipful to you? I can say that as I was going through, as I was reading through this, I could hear words like I felt overwhelmed by it, actually, when I was reading, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. And then this part that says in verse 7, the forgiveness of our trespasses. That's a strong word for our sins, the things that we have gone against God in. We've crossed the line. We've trespassed against where his will is and what his design for us was. We have forgiveness for that. I love this part, in which he lavished upon us. I always think about it when I look at scripture, how it could have been said or might have been said, but he chose it to be said this way. He could have said, which he gave to us, which he handed to us, which he doled out to us. But I love that he just, this idea of lavishing on us, there's a sense of richness there. So as you go through, I'll be curious to hear what verses, what phrases stand out to you as supremely worshipful, more tender, more beautiful, and they feel like they wash over you. And if you're listening along and can type it up too, share that with the rest of us. You know, people go back and they listen to this study and they'll be able to see your comments too, and leave that there as an encouragement to others as well. So verse 3, or question 3. If you're like me, you might be tempted to approach your Bible study time with a "what can I use to help me get through my day" mindset. You might look for some specific nugget of strength and encouragement, but let's be sure we first approach our study time thinking not of what we can read into the word, eisegesis, what feels best for us, but what we can bring out of the word, exegesis, that helps us see God first. Reread this passage. Yes, third time's a charm, and make note of truths and actions about God and his nature. And I've left some space for us to do that as we reread. So let's look for verbs that show how God has, what God has done, and look for the point for those actions and what they produce in our life. So let's go back to verses 3 through 6 and reread that, keeping in mind what this tells us about God. Blessed be the God and Father, so I'd write that down, of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what has he done? He has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Holy and blameless. So he chose us. I would put choosing us, and I would put an arrow backward to the foundation of the world, and that for the purpose of being holy and blameless in him. In love, he did what? He predestined us for adoption. And I would just maybe draw a heart and write that word adoption and point that back about what God is doing in the act of choosing us, that the purpose for his choosing us was predestining us toward this act of adoption. Why? Because he wants us as sons for himself through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. And ultimately, what is this all? You could draw a circle around all of that you've written down. And what does this all point to? To the praise of his glorious what? His grace. We want to glorify his grace. Everything that he's done for us points to his grace, with which he blessed us in the beloved. And see, notice how the word is capitalized, beloved. So what? Why? I mean, beloved in general, but we might refer to just a group of people. What does beloved point to then here? Well, let's go on to the next section of our notes here. We've written some thoughts down about God the Father. And as you're listening, maybe you're pausing and jotting some of your own notes down. But moving on to the second section, verses 7 through 12, let's continue to read now about God the Son, how God is not just God the Father, but he's God the Son, of course, and God the Holy Spirit. And this is indicated by this capitalized of the word beloved. So verses 7 now. In him, the beloved, we have redemption. What do we have? So we have Jesus, maybe make a cross there, or like we learned in church yesterday, the idea of his shepherding spirit with his shepherd of us over him like a lamb. In him we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of our trespasses. So we have redemption, we have forgiveness, and all of this is according to his, the riches of his grace. There's that word grace again, which he lavished, like I said a second ago, in all wisdom and insight. So he knows what's happening. He has wisdom. He sees what happens. He has insight, right? That's what insight means. He can see it all. It's like he can see beyond what we are able to see today, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, God, things in heaven and on earth. So God is uniting things in heaven and earth in who? In Christ. It's all coming together in Christ. All right. So, we want to go through to verse 12 on that. Let me continue on to that. In him, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. So there's that idea of everything pointing to the praise of the glory of God because of what he was able to accomplish in Christ. All right. So let's go on to the pointing to the Holy Spirit here, verses 13 through 14. It says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, so you heard that, so he's switching it up and he's saying, okay, this other group now that they've heard this word of truth, that's the gospel that Paul was taking. We learned about this in the previous lessons. Paul's taking this gospel to this other group of people, the Gentiles. And you heard this word of truth, which was the gospel of salvation, and believed in him. What was the result of that? You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. All right? So we've got all this truth wrapped up here. And what is this truth about this Holy Spirit? What is he? Well, he's the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. When do we get an inheritance? We don't typically get an inheritance when we're sitting here alive. We get it when we pass on, right? But what's beautiful about the inheritance that we have in Christ is we see it active in us even while we're alive in Christ, and we get the culmination of it when we pass on, when we're no longer alive, right? Okay, so Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Pause, jot your thoughts down on that, and let's continue. All right. So let's read now Ephesians 7 through 10 with this in mind. What happened in the fullness of time? And write it out, or maybe even illustrate that truth. What actually happened? I'm going to actually switch over to Ephesians 1, 7 through 10 so you can see it. What happened as it says here? Hold on, let me get my scripture up. There we go. All right. What happened in the fullness of time? Christ redeemed us. Christ redeemed us through his birth and then his blood, and then united all things in him and heaven and earth. And I would recommend just either writing that all out, or I gave a box for you. Whenever I give a box, I'm offering the opportunity for you to draw something there. I'd love you to create and express yourself, not just in writing, but in poetry, if you want to, in a drawing. I know some of you are like, I don't draw well. Don't worry about it. Just draw and try to create that image in your mind that'll help you to remember it better. So what happened here? Christ redeemed us through his birth and then his blood, and united all things in heaven and on earth. All right. So let's go back and review verses 1:1 and recall how Paul became an apostle. And it says, by the will of God. Think about God's role in Paul's life as you read and consider verses 4 through 6 again. What was God's role in choosing his people? So we go back up here and we see Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. And in verses 4 through 6, what was God's role there? He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. We should be holy and blameless. He predestined us as adoption through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. Like he chose Paul according to the purpose of his will also. All right. So back to our lesson there. Oh, look at that. I left a blank 6. There was just the numbering. I probably hit enter or something and I need to delete that out. That's what's fun about going together, joining me on these. You always see little typos that I'll fix later when I bring this all together in one cohesive book when it's all done. All right. So what do you know now about God, about Christ, about the Holy Spirit? And if you'll recall, I gave you a doctrines chart at the beginning of this lesson. So I'm going to scroll real quick back up to that. There it is. Okay. So it's over on page 12, and I've given you space to jot down a scripture, and then put down your thoughts about what you're learning in the doctrines of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And if you'll recall, when I opened up this lesson, I gave you the example of someone who once said, doctrine, why do we need doctrine? I just love Jesus. Well, that's good that you love Jesus, but understanding the doctrines of what that looks like outside of just saying, I love Jesus, can prevent you from treating your faith very simplistically. I mean, I love chocolate, but not in the same way I love Jesus. And I love my dog, but not in the same way I love Jesus. And so saying I love Jesus, it holds more weight to it. What does that actually mean in my life if I understand what that means? And what it means is that's the doctrine part of it. What does it mean that I know and love Jesus? Well, I understand about God. I understand what does the Bible say about Jesus? What does the Bible say about the Holy Spirit? What do I actually believe that backs up the reason why I love this? Okay. So on your own, take some time and jot down a scripture that holds truth about God, about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit that you learned from this passage, and any thoughts. Now, obviously, this is a small chart, and you could write books and books and books just on one of these. So either write really small and be prepared to write more, or photocopy this and make it available, or just print it because it's available online. Just print a couple pages of it so you can continue to add, or just develop your own chart. Maybe make one whole page about just God, one whole page about Jesus and the things we're going to be learning about Jesus in this study. So, okay. Back to our closing, and I will read the final closing to you as we move on. Scroll, scroll, scroll down. Here we go. All right. So at the end of each lesson, I give some kind of a closing thought of my own. And honestly, I'd be interested to hear your closing thoughts. This is what came to me as I was writing this, but maybe something along these lines came to you as you were writing, and that's a great thing to be able to share. I want you to think about the lessons that we're doing together as community. We don't get to see each other, but we are together in a sense because I can see your comments. So please leave a comment. Let me know what you're thinking. I'm always curious about it. And don't forget, other people can read that too, which is a benefit for all of us to be in community together. So let me go ahead and read that to you. And finish up this lesson, sharing my heart as we read through this passage. So have you ever wished you could be God? I mean, you saw a problem, a challenge, an issue, and you wished you could just be like God and step in and fix it. Really, what would you like to be as God? I think we want to be like God because we have a sense that things aren't right here. They don't make sense, or they're truly just evil. And we know it could be better. But imagine that God wasn't good. God just was. How different would the world be if God was neither good nor bad? Imagine a God who stayed out of things. You've just imagined what deists believe. Deism is the belief that there is a God, but he or she isn't involved in our lives. The God of deism is like a clockmaker who wound up the clock and just let it go. But this is not at all what we read in the Bible. God, our Father, did something besides get this all going. He got involved. He made us, and he didn't stop there. He blessed us, and he didn't stop there. He blessed us with every spiritual blessing, and not just any old earthly blessing, blessings that are in the heavenly places. That's a great God, a good God. And how could we do anything but sing to the praise of his glory? And just a little note on that, Thomas Jefferson is one of the most famous deists, and you can learn more about him in the article that I clicked a link to. If you're not following online, if you haven't opened up this, you just click that link online and it'll link you over to Thomas Jefferson and a really good article about that. And for now, we're going to wrap up our study time for today. I want to thank you for being with us. And don't forget, as always, hit that subscribe button, and I think it's over here. Maybe if you're listening on YouTube, or if I'm flipped over, it might be there. But it says subscribe in a red box that has a little alarm bell. So hit subscribe and then hit that alarm bell so you can get the notifications when I do post a new video on YouTube. Same thing goes for the podcast. Hit that subscribe or follow button and so that you can get notifications. And honestly, the same thing goes for for a I thought I had a spider web on me, but it was just a hair. Cindy goes for Facebook. Just hit the subscribe or follow button so that you can get notifications. All right. Well, that wraps us up for today. Thank you for being with us as always. Be blessed, and I'll see you back here tomorrow morning, hopefully closer to 7 a.m. our live time, or later whenever you guys are joining us. Bye-bye for now.